In week two of The Bachelor, hustle points abound as Daisy opening up about her hearing has Joey seeing a future with her. Edwina bashes and crashes her way to a hard-earned rose, and Evelyn jumps over a table, but it's Rachel and Jess who take the biggest leap at the fake wedding. So which player has the makings of Joey's real bride to be? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America. It's good to see you all.
And Daniel A. Duddy. Yeah, big welcome back to Michael Bolton last night.
Such a relief, man. I've been talking all this shit the last like 3 weeks about how I'm sick and tired of seeing non-celebrities and Bachelor Nation people filling all those slots that could be filled up by these living legends that we still have around, you know?
Right, yeah. Nice musicians that don't even have a Wikipedia page. And...
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I was glad to see that they woke Michael Bolton up from that coma he was in for that dating show with Zooey Deschanel.
No, he was still in it. I don't know if you saw. he was still kind of just hanging out. Look, he just looks at the middle distance and fucking nails that key change everywhere he goes. He just kind of hangs out and does, you know, he just phones it in. It's great. I love to see him, though.
Where does Michael Bolton rank on the all-time great musical guests of the BCU? That's the kind of topic that we get into on Left Unsaid. Mm-hmm. We get all the exclusive bonus content for all your Bachelor's own needs. We get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. So if you enjoy The Bachelor Zone every week and you want to hear a little more from us, hear us shoot from the hips a little bit, talk about pop culture, things going on in our lives, our weight loss challenge that we started doing Left Unsaid last week. You can catch it all on patreon.com/The Bachelor Zone. Now it's a really exciting night. A lot of hustle, heart, determination on display. Let's get into it with our headlines brought to you by Maria's Dad's Sprinkles Company. Sprinkle the town red. So let's start with Joey's one-on-one date, which he awarded to early favorite Daisy. And based on her opening night performance, Daisy seemed to be a likely candidate for Joey's first heat check. But what Joey didn't expect was Daisy's admirable vulnerability, telling him about her past health struggles and her cochlear implant. Guys, what's your take on Daisy's leadoff performance that we saw last night? Did she establish herself as the player to beat in this tournament?
She might be one of the all-time players, period, after last night. There was something intangible about how much she got on everyone's good side, including the clubhouse and America. Like, I was looking through Bachelor data, some of her coverage. We haven't seen Instagram jumps like this ever.
Yeah.
Since ever. Like, she's already, like, bachelorette level, you know, heat on her.
Joey, the clubhouse, the refs, everybody is on the Daisy train.
Everybody loves her, including me. Hey, count me into that big troop. Put me in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think she's great. She's swell. She's a real sweetheart. Doggone it, she's wonderful.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I feel like if you were designing a Bachelor contestant in a lab, you'd come out with Daisy. She's got the sob story. She's got the charisma. She's got the looks. She's got the tenacity. She wants it. whether or not she, you know, ends up being Joey's doubles partner, I think it's still too early to say, but you know, shoot for the moon. And if you miss, you're going to end up as bachelorette.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. She feels like the second coming of Ray Romano. Everybody loves her. Really strong start last night. I didn't see this as like a Katie Bigger level of where the chemistry spiking off the chart so hard that you're like, whoa, shut this thing down. We're already looking at our champion here. It wasn't quite at that level, but she definitely raised the bar and set the tone. It seems to me like she's so talented. And this is true of all the greats of the BCU, all the great players. She's so talented at recognizing what the game needs from her and then executing that and making it look easy. And also, I think the most distinct, important advantage that she has is she's able to play with this live like you're dying enthusiasm, because she's been through so much strife in recent years that her teammates have not, that situations that feel like they're high pressure for her teammates aren't going to seem like that big of a deal for her. For example, her teammates might have gotten in that helicopter last night and think to themselves, "Oh man, I'm the first date of the season. I'm up in the helicopter with the Bachelor. All the cameras and bright lights are on me." And for her, she was just so delighted that she could hear Joey amidst the helicopter noise that everything about it after that was just fun for her, and it didn't feel like pressure to her. And the fact that she's able to play in such a consequence-free, enthusiastic way like that, where she just appreciates the little things in the way other people don't, I that's going to serve her really well the more the pressure mounts throughout the season.
With all the hyperbole we've been given tonight, I got to ask you, Wally, is she your number one?
The AP polls have her at number one. At the moment, I think, again, I don't think she slammed the door on this thing. There's still a lot of people to hear from and a lot of talent out there, but it was a really strong start. I think she's very deserving of that top spot in the AP this week.
Duddy, does Daisy take your number one spot?
I think by default she has to.
Yeah.
But I agree that it's not a lock in the same, like Wally said, with like Katie Bigger, you know, Dale and Claire. It's not, this is anyone's game.
Right.
And I feel like, I don't know, I really like some of the women in the field. I mean, Maria is such a dark horse. I feel like she could either win it all or implode spectacularly by next week. I mean, I love what Jess is doing. I don't know. There's a lot of competition still in this league or in this season that maybe front runners of the past haven't quite faced. So I think so far we've got the makings for a good one, boys.
Mm. Yeah.
I got to say, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other great performances from this game. There sure were a lot of them. The night began with Joey coaching Jesse Palmer on the tennis court and telling him, "Don't be afraid to push a little more." That ended up being the theme of the night here. This episode featured arguably the most collective hustle in one game that I've ever seen from a clubhouse. You had Evelyn jumping over a table, just going full Wonder Woman there in musical chairs. You had Edwina diving in the dirt to secure a rose in the capture the flag game that they played. And Maria pulling the classic move of slipping into something more comfortable mid-ISO set. I've never seen that before. Guys, which player do you think did the most to help their cause in this very talented field it seems like we have?
I mean, like I said earlier, I absolutely love Maria's gameplay because she is someone who she kind of right now has the that wild card vibe, but she feels fully in control of it. And she is doing everything she can to build an attraction, a sexiness, and an intense connection between her and Joey. But compared to contestants past, like, for example, a Victoria F, it doesn't feel like the crazy is controlling her, you know?
Right.
And I think because of that, and again, it's too early to, like, I think the sky's the limit for her. My only question is, does she really want this, or is she just playing for paradise? But I think if she wants this, I think she is dangerous.
I absolutely agree with you that this slip into something more comfortable move that she did, it was box office, and she has the charisma to pull it off, and she did. But to make a devil's advocate contention, to me, it was a box office move, but it also felt like a lateral move a little bit. Because yes, it was sexy and seductive, and it out of the three H's, it had the horniness part going. Joey was beat red, but the ISO set ended with Joey saying, "I don't really remember what we were talking about, and all I know about you is Canada. I don't know anything else about you right now." So even though she pulled off the sexiness, she didn't really move her narrative forward at all. When you add that to the fact that she kind of made him sit there and wait while she was changing into the outfit, and if I was one of her teammates, I would have been furious about that, by the way. There's no way that would have happened on my watch, but she's just leaving him to sit there by himself like a sitting duck to make the change happen. It almost felt like robbing Peter to pay Paul. to me.
Yeah. I'm going to give them almost a preemptive. I agree with you a little bit, Wally. I think the wait was a risky move. The fact that she pulled it off was pretty awesome, but it wasn't because of her that she pulled it off. It was because her teammates totally screwed the
just
pooch.
Weak defense.
Yeah, I would give an honorable mention in Mara Choketown, but I'll just tell it right now. Those people dropped the ball. But I don't know if that's a problem at this point. I think the kind of game she's playing right now, if she was doing this like week 4 or 5, we'd be like, all right. Like, the fact that he doesn't know anything about you, but it's week 2, and they didn't have a one-on-one yet. You know what I mean? I think she bought herself a one-on-one in this, and then that's where we'll really test her. You know, that's where we'll actually see when the rubber hits the road if she's going to be able to open up about herself and get Joey. Especially
yeah, what's
when
her
you
sad
have,
story?
Yeah, especially with the amount of sob stories going around already. You know, there's already been, you know, 2 or 3 really heavy hitters in the sad department. So I'm curious, but I don't disagree with you if you want my hard opinion.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely has Joey's attention, definitely has my attention after that. But the person who impressed me the most is I got to go with Rachel during this wedding day, winning the first dance with Joey while Michael Bolton sang. Rachel delivered the toast with the most. It was clever. It was witty. The way she said, I didn't know all our exes would be here at the wedding, but cheers to your past, Joey, and here's to us. That was so well done. That was such a clever way of disregarding the clubhouse and saying, I don't care that any of you are here right now, in a way that they could all laugh at. And
that deep cut to the smoocheria.
Yeah.
Mid-dance.
Super
in,
deep.
In front of all the other women. That takes a lot of bravery, too. You know,
and a mildly catatonic Michael Bolton to boot.
She almost woke him up with that smooch,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw those eyes move for a second.
Bravery, Bolton, and just the command of the red zone that showed that she's able to pull that off in front of everybody like that. And we see in the coming weeks that she has a one-on-one date coming later. And if she's able to play with that kind of poise and execute so brilliantly when everybody else is around, I can't wait to see what she does on a one-on-one date.
Truly. Yeah, she's going to be something special, I think. Do you think, we haven't talked about it too much, but do you, because I think our Hawaiians are both still there, right? We didn't lose
still,
the 2 Hawaiians.
Still got Rachel, still got Leia, yeah.
Okay, right. So, I mean, Leia hasn't really made much of a peep yet, but it's early yet. But do you think Rachel bought herself a hometown with this group date performance? Because I agree with you, that speech was something to see, something to write home about, something to put down in the history books, because it was like done in such a way that seemed effortless, but was able to accomplish so much. Do you think she bought herself a Hawaii date for that?
That's an interesting question. My answer would be it's too early to say, because with Leia, she had such a brilliant performance on night one to earn the first impression rose, but then we don't really hear from her at all this week. And I think part of that is the burden that comes with winning the first impression rose, is that a lot of times that person gets ignored on the date card for the next week because they like creating that narrative of like, oh man, I got so much attention from him the first night. Now I'm not getting any attention from him. Woe is me. How do I change this?
Sophomore slump. Yeah.
Yes. That's partially the referee's doing. But if your question is Hawaii, is that town not big enough for the two of them in terms of hometowns? So it's got to be either Leia or Rachel. I think Rachel took the momentum back and took the lead in that category.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
I want to disagree for sake of disagreement, but sadly, unfortunately, I also have to agree. We're in a bind.
That's okay. Yeah. We can be copacetic.
Well, goodbye.
I want to. Before we move on, there's a couple other names that I want to ask you. I want to ask you guys about the 2 Rose winners. So you had Edwina winning Capture the Heart, and then Jess actually getting, as good as Rachel was during her toast, Jess ended up getting the group date rose from that wedding date.
Yeah.
What do you guys make? Are they legit contenders in this? You have Edwina at 9, Jess at 4 in the AP polls this week. Are they here to stay?
Possibly. I think Edwina could be a little higher in the polls, to be honest. I disagree with the good people at the AP, but I think Jess is definitely fighting for at least a wild card slot this season. unless she implodes on like a 2-on-1 or really gets into it with some people. But I think her biggest rival, Taylor, hit the road, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see who. I mean, the target's still on her back, but I don't see who's going to take the shot now that she's gone. So I'd have to say Jess stole it. I was definitely had my money on Maria and or Rachel for that row. Or no, Rachel already got one. Who's the other 1-on-1 time that night? I'm trying to think. Doesn't matter. Maria, I thought was going to take that group date rose, and the fact that Jess came in and swooped it was pretty wild.
Jess is incredible.
I
pegged her week one for like a villain role or a week four exit, maybe a wild card flyer. She has the makings of a wild card flyer. Yeah. Right now, the stats say I agree with the AP. I feel like she's a top four player, and I don't know how she keeps kind of getting. She must have some good clubhouse fundamentals that, you know, she can keep getting these roses and keep ruffling, I guess, just the right feathers and not the wrong feathers that no one's coming to check her. Or, and here's something I'd like to posit about this season. This is a very early prediction or a very early assessment, but guys, I feel like the defense is kind of weak this season.
Yeah, it's shootout.
I agree. Yeah, especially in comparison to Zach's clubhouse was like the 85 Bears. That was one of the all-time great defenses. And in comparison, it looks like a bunch of matadors at the moment.
Right now, we're letting everyone get away with everything. And, I mean, again, going back to Maria and the costume change. Are you kidding me? In any other season, that costume would have been, you know, that second outfit would have been a pool.
Right.
It would have been soaked. But
Charity and Ariel and Kat and Brooklyn, they would have ripped that dress up like Cinderella's evil stepsisters.
Yeah. Yeah, they would have pounced. It's just crazy how much time while the clock burned off the clock then, you know, it's nuts.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know.
But yeah, Edwina and Jess, clearly very smart players, very good players. My question and concern is, so they both got the waterworks going. They both got really vulnerable in a way that you would for a full 1-on-1 date, as opposed to just shorter conversations that they had. Mm. I worry, did they siphon off a little too much fuel out of the tank?
Interesting. Do you think, because they had such substantial amounts of time in this group date, that they just absolutely are not going to get grouped 1-on-1 dates coming up soon, or that they don't have enough momentum? Like, I'm trying to clarify your question here.
With Jess already getting the waterworks going for, I was in a bad relationship with infidelity, right, and this is how it made me feel. The fact that she's doing that on a group date, if and when she does get a 1-on-1 date, does she have enough left in the chamber?
Right. I see what you're saying. Does she have the bullets? Yeah.
Right.
I think that's something to be worried about, because I don't know how she tops that unless there's some serious death stuff.
Here's hoping.
I guess. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, clearly a lot of talent in this clubhouse. It's so much talent that it might leave you in a state of confusion about who you should be slotting in for your fantasy lineup. Well, as always, we've got your back with some advice. Here's the talented Mr. Jose Max Singer with your Fantasy Minute.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those hot takes and inside scoop that you're gonna need. So Max Singer, who do you like this week in fantasy?
This week's Fantasy Minute is brought to you by Beach Life Festival. Go see some acts you remember in Redondo Beach, and also someone named Bahamas. Beach Life. My honorable mention goes to the new season's music budget. Billie Eilish scoring the top of week one and Michael Bolton at the wedding date in week two. The music supervisors are springing for far more than recent season's third place finisher from American Idol, and it's a good thing. My first love this week goes to Maria. Usually when I say I want to put on something more comfortable, it means it's sweatpants time. But not for Maria. She's proving to be both the villain, but also has Joey completely buying what she's selling. She has potential for a big play at any moment she's on screen. On the flip side, I hate Sydney. Starting beef over a game of telephone you weren't even originally in the conversation for is not a recipe for success. Being the person who channels all their energy into a fellow competitor does not tend to end well. I love Edwina. Way to absolutely dominate a group date with incredible plays on both offense and defense. Edwina was a great two-way player who also showed real vulnerability in her one-on-one time with Joey. This is how you make the most of your time on this show. My final hate goes to fellow blue team member Star with two R's. This is someone who was affected by the group date twist and lost out on needed time with Joey. I haven't seen enough of her to feel comfortable dedicating a lineup spot to Star. So grab a slice of red velvet cake, and I swear to God it better be red velvet, and remember to set your lineups in the Batch Live app. As always, I'm the talented Mr. Rose, and this has been your Fantasy Minute.
Thank you, Max. This week's Fantasy Minute brought to you, as always, by the Batch Live app. Think you have what it takes to out-fantasy your favorite Batch Zone pundits? Download the Batch Live app on your smartphone and join our exclusive Fantasy League for free today. We're going to take a quick break. More Batch Zone coming up right after this. Roses are red, violets are blue. Trim your balls, and your date will thank us, too. Hey there, fellas. Valentine's Day is coming up. It's knocking on the door. And Manscaped is the remedy for what the love doctor ordered. His prescription, the all-new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, designed to elevate your grooming game and shine like the heartthrob that you are. So join the 10 million men worldwide who trusted Manscaped with our exclusive offer by going to manscaped.com and snagging 20% off and free shipping with our special code ZONE3, that's Z-O-N-E and the number 3 at manscaped.com.
That's right. And guess what, Wally? With the new Manscaped Beard Hedger Pro Kit, it's bringing the Manscaped love to those bearded kings out there. You know what I'm talking about. Duddy's almost there. He's got the little soy sauce thing going on. All right. Designed to shave your scruff effortlessly. It sculpts cheek lines, maintains beard styles, giving you that suave look for your romantic moments that are coming up inevitably at whatever reasonably priced restaurant you're going to for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code ZONE3 because your grooming upgrade awaits, ready to charm your Valentine's dates.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you this week by Michael Bolton. He's everywhere you want to be. So, guys, as we said, a lot of great hustle, a lot of great defense being played in this game week two. Zach, who gets your week two steal?
You know what? I thought about it long and hard, and I think I have to give it to the refs this week for a subtle but very effective and final nail in the coffin type move on Lauren, getting the cake order wrong, or I think purposely making the cake just right, how they wanted it. Because that situation could have gone so much better. She had so much momentum of, I had a sad, hard day today because it was a really triggering group date because my dad recently died. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a ace in the hole. And she wasted it so hard by just coming at him with such, like, veracity. Like, she was pissed off at everybody, which, granted, sure, different people cope in different ways. But that, like, you can't be doing that when you're playing this game. You know what I mean? You can't take things out in an aggressive way. Be sad. Cry it out. That's encouraged. You know, it's like 90% of the show. But just, like, getting snappy with people is not going to help you, right? And then, you know, doing even threatening going home is okay. But I think the refs knew it. I don't know if Joey knew it, but, like, because she was kind of right on the fence at the end of last week. I think they knew if she sticks around, unless we get her in, like, a real villain role, there's not going to be much to this. And in order to, like, make sure that Joey didn't, because Joey is kind of a putty tat, right? He's kind of a softy, I think. I think a lot of, like, sob story stuff's going to work on him easy, especially when there starts to be drama in the house and he has to pick between women. I think it's hard for him to sift through nonsense. And in this situation, I think it's hard for him to, like, set boundaries. So what they did is they set it for him with some chocolate. They knew that if they put that the straw on the camel's back, that she would snap completely and show her, you know, show the ugly side of herself. Unfortunately, I'm not blaming her for that. Like, she's, you know, people get emotional. It's a high-pressure situation. But you got to have more poise than that. You got to have more poise than that. You can be angry about the cake. You don't do it on the field. You know what I mean? You don't you don't get a red card like that. That's inexcusable, even if you did want to go home.
Yeah. The cake being late felt like perfect timing by the referees. When they brought that cake in, it was like her back could take half a straw. And then when she cut into it and saw that it was not red velvet, which she had ordered, that was the straw that officially broke the camel's back right there. So yeah, great defense by Big Bachelor. DA, who gets your steal of the night for week two?
We talked about her a little bit, but my steal of the night is going to Rachel. And I want to talk about, one, how she took this, you know, amazing speech. That feels like an offensive move. But going in for that deep smooch in front of everyone, that's not usually typically done on group dates, especially group dates in week two.
Right.
And especially group dates in week two when you're in a wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hard, hard, hard scene to watch. If you're on the outside looking in, it is a hard scene to watch on the outside looking in after you just told that you were one of the exes. Everything about it was masterful. But I also want to point out this one point. Earlier in the date, right when it started, in the mad rush to get wedding dresses, I'm pretty sure Rachel got laid out by one of the dress racks.
Yeah.
I'm pretty that was a hit that would have ended up on Jacked Up and ESPN in 2005. Just Rachel just on the floor, dress rack on top of her, looking like she just ran into Ray Lewis. Yeah. To get up from that and then go out and make honestly one of the, you know, an all-time defensive play, the tenacity of her, just incredible.
She's competitive.
That's a fantastic point. And I don't understand why there was such a mad scramble for the dresses, because they all have different measurements, right? So didn't they all have assigned dresses that were tailored to them?
That's a great point, Wally, that I didn't even clock. But yeah, I think you're right.
Presumably, just ref interference or utter chaos or maybe, I don't know, maybe that's the thing with maybe someone, and I guess we should give it to whoever started that stampede. You know, you just start running somewhere. I think psychologically people are like, oh, I got to follow.
That's true. Yeah.
Heads up play to cause that chaos.
Yeah. He almost took a player out.
Absolutely.
Rachel could have lost an ankle.
Right. Absolutely. She could have been out for the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether that stampede had to happen or not, it did happen. She got caught up in the middle of it, gets laid out like that. And I agree, DA, to get back up on your feet and not only keep playing well, but to put on this masterclass that we saw with this toast and this deep cut trip to the smoocheria she pulled off in front of everybody. Just incredible stuff by Rachel. Great nominee. For my steal of the night, I want to give Joey an honorable mention for stopping himself when he was on the one-on-one date with Daisy, the second half of the date, and she opened up about her getting a cochlear implant, and then she got choked up for a second and kind of paused, and Joey was about to say, "I'm all ears," and he went, "I'm listening."
Good. Heads up. Heads up play.
He caught himself at exactly the right moment. So that's why I gotta shout him out for that. But for my official pick this week, RIP to the Battery Sisters era. For Big Sister Lauren, she was our Mayor of Choketown last week. It was certainly a Mayor of Choketown short-lived type of season for her. But she did do one thing right on her way out the door. As much of a sourpuss as she was at this wedding, and rightfully, I don't mean to be insensitive. I understand. I'm able to comprehend that with her father passing away and she's in a wedding dress, that's an emotional day. I understand why she was kind of sitting on the sidelines. But even so, you have Evelyn diving ass over tea kettle to try to get this chair next to Joey, one of the most athletic, most dramatic plays that we've seen. One of the most high risk plays we've seen. She risked life and limb right there with that jump. And it ends up being a goose egg in the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Lauren slid underneath and stole possession of that chair. And the fact that she was able to get with Evelyn making such a great effort for it, the fact that she was able to slide in and make that play moot again, she didn't do much right this year, but she definitely did that right on the defensive end. So that's why she gets my vote for this week. We've got a three-way tie here. Help us break it. Who do you think should get Steal of the Night for week two here on the Bachelor Zone? Let us know on our social media. We'll get the polls up for that. But first, we got to look at the other side of the ball. Look at the players who didn't play so well as we hand out the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to. It's Mayor of Choketown. Mayor of Choketown, brought to you this week by Imitation Red Cake. I can't believe it's not velvet. So, as we said, a lot of great performances out there last night, but not for everybody. DA, I'll start with you. Who gets your week two keys to the city?
I want to give it to Taylor just for variety, but I have to go with Lauren. And for all the reasons discussed, Wally, I think you make a great point about her dad. And, you know, I do agree that we should give her grace, but that doesn't excuse I think she had so much smoke coming off her, being this first sister pairing. I think getting rattled about, throughout the entire episode and her age and everything else. And she knows, I think, that, you know, as she alluded to hometowns, she knows that, you know, the refs kind of would have the fix in, like, to help her. I think the refs right. want to see a dual hometown experience. And even with that, you know, she couldn't keep her mentals together to make it work. I got to give her Choketown.
Yeah, I think the moment that her little sister beat her to the punch for the first kiss in the family with Joey, she got so rattled by that there was just no coming back from it. And you've seen her slowly unravel in every moment since. Zach, who gets your key to the city, Choketown?
So I'm going to end up agreeing, but first I want to just make up a really quick point that got stuck in my craw. As a current AFM, the American Federation of Musicians, Local 47 member, we're entering negotiations with AMPTP at the moment to try to figure out how to get our piece of the pie and try to keep ourselves safe from AI like the other sister unions did. Everyone's got our back in solidarity, and I'm happy to see it. With that said, it's unexcusable that they didn't have a band for Michael Bolton. Yeah. You got Michael Bolton up there, and you just bring three backup singers? Come on. All right, but my actual Mayor Choketown, it's got to go to Lauren. Now, it's complicated because I was super big on Lauren last week, right? I loved her battery energy. I loved her, you know, flinging batteries at Santa Philadelphia energy, her gritty energy, to be quite honest with you. And when this episode started and she started tearing up in the limo and said her sob story, I was like, oh shit, like we're really bonded with this. You know, we're both part of like the recently dead dad club. I was like, man, she can use this to fly straight to the moon and bounce back from that sister bullshit last week. And the way that she just had this adversarial vibe with everyone except for Maria, like when Maria gave her that olive branch in the limo and that at the group date and consoled her and had her back on all that, she could have taken that love and used it as support. Like, she has an awesome sab story to roll with, you know what I mean? And the fact that she wasted it is inexcusable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's truly inexcusable. Like, the fact that she had everything almost handed to her. And you're right. She had enough of a head on her shoulders to kind of play. Like, she got the next to him seat. And I think the refs were trying to help her, honestly, in after that limo moment, you know, and the ITMs around then. Like, I think people were genuinely feeling sorry for her because, like, this crazy foul-mouthed lady she's a human. Look at her. She's great, you know. I think a lot of people were just chalking up to be a villain, but she had more onions than that. And she just threw it all away.
Yeah.
She just tossed it, you know?
That's a great point. Cast sisters, there's no way they envisioned, like, oh, this will end by week two, and we'll be fine with that. There's no way that was the thought.
No, they wanted her to stick around, and I think I realized that watching her as the episode went on, me and Duddy were talking about a little bit before Mike, the more I looked at her, the more I was like, oh, she doesn't, A, want to be here, and B, have the ability to be here. You know what I mean? Just the way she looked very uncomfortable the entire time. And at first, her energy gave me like, oh, this lady doesn't care about anybody. She's got, you know, just speaks her mind. She's totally hilarious when she talks crazy shit, you know, like she's got all these funny one-liners that we're looking forward to. And then I saw this week, I'm like, oh, no, no, no. She's just, she got kind of arm twisted into doing this, and she doesn't really want to be here.
Zach, I'm glad you brought up that she again that she's from Philadelphia, because it does remind me so much of this year's Eagles.
Yeah,
just how much talent is there, and how much was squandered.
Yeah,
and so pitifully,
just didn't want it.
Yeah, yeah. She comes in like Joel Embiid and leaves like Ben Simmons. The way that she, I have no respect for the "you can't fire me, I quit" move that she pulled. Yeah. It's always disappointing when you see that. And so she's gonna win Mayor of Choketown here, it looks like, and I'm okay with that. But I've got a couple other people on my mind. As an honorable mention, Caitlin telling Joey that she plays the French horn, which is really cool. And Joey says, "Oh, then so you can do the solo from Star Wars." And she said, No, silly, it's from Star Trek, not Star Wars. And she was wrong. It is the solo from Star Wars. Joey had it right.
Yeah.
Total botch job. But I have a bigger bone to pick with Big Bachelor. And here's why. We got 90 minutes of great TV last night. Three great quarters of hustle, determination, great offense, great defense. I'd love to see it. And then right around that 90-minute mark, my Sig Eau Claire walks in from Pilates. And I'll let you behind the curtain a little bit and tell you that my Sig Eau Claire, she used to be a fan of Bachelor, has fallen away from it in the past 10 years or so. She felt like they kind of lost their way. But every once in a while, she'll kind of wander next to me and snuggle up while I'm watching it and be like, "Oh, let's see what they got. I'm open to giving it another shot." And so she comes up next to me with a little bit curious, see how Joey's doing, and watches with me. And what do they put on the television but this Maria Medina fight with Sydney sticking her nose in it as well, where it was something about Maria saying I'm old like Medina is. It was right up there with Shrimpgate as the dumbest, most inane fight in BCU history. And I'm not even going to dignify it with a recap or a breakdown, because to do so would numb the mind. And this is what they're doing right when I have a chance to try to sell clear on it. And I'm furious. And I'm so mad with Big Bachelor. And so that's why, even though I'm going to lose, it's going to be Lauren this week, and that's fine. I've got to say it.
Yeah. The Star Trek theme was done on a theremin for all those people keeping score out there.
Wally, I'm with you. It breaks my heart. The Bachelor, the BCU, has basically the opposite of the Mamba mentality.
Yes.
They show up to play once every, you know, 8 games and then say, "Look, we had a good game. We can do it."
Look, I'm going to defend. This is crazy. I'm going to defend the refs for a minute. I really enjoy the cold opens, these Christopher Nolan cold opens where they show us the end at the beginning.
Extremely artistic, yeah.
Yeah, I'm here for the directing. I'm here for the cake choices. I like the kind of aggressive refereeing they're doing. I mean, some people aren't going to like it. A lot of people aren't going to like it, but I'm kind of here for it. Stick up for them. Those corrupt, sweet sons of bitches.
I just don't like
I'm glad we can have difference of opinion on this podcast.
Yeah, that's what America
is. It's very
is.
Nice.
When they manufacture drama like that, it just feels like a boring town where like 5 cop cars show up at someone running a yellow light or something like that. Like the fact that disagreement, in quotes, got that much camera time is outrageous. But Lauren's walking away. She's dodging the battery thrown at her, but walking away with the key to the city of Choketown. And deservedly so, I suppose. She's gone from the competition, but a lot of great players left in it. The AP polls are out, so let's take a look at them. Who's thriving? Who's merely surviving? And who's driving on the 710 to Pasadena? It's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road, brought to you this week by Cochlear Implants. Can you hear me now? Good. So major, major shakeup in the AP polls this week. I'll read off the top 10 to you. You got Kelsey T at number 10, Edwina at 9. Rachel moves up from oblivion to number 8. Leah, last week's number 1, she drops all the way to 7. Then let's start it with number 6. You have Jen dropping from 4 to 6. It looks like she has a one-on-one coming up next week. Zach, is Jen playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think Jen's playing for the rose. I think she can stick around. She's got good energy. The one-on-one so early makes me think that Joey's really into her, you know, just out of the gate, intangible-wise. So if she can just not fuck up, she'll be all right.
Yeah, I feel like her game script has been extremely basic so far. It's just been a lot of go routes, runs up the middle. Sure. But I do think she's better than that, and I think we're going to see that on her one-on-one. So I am curious to see what she does when she's got a little more time and no one else around to interfere.
She Number could five, get dealt a nice hand, too, like a pretty woman date or something by the end of it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Number five, we got Maria. DA, ring, rose, or road?
Wait, I'm confused real quick why Leah dropped from 1 to 7. Did she lose to Wyoming or something?
I guess why
the precipitous fall?
That's what happens when you don't get included on a date. Even if you are number one the week before.
Are you talking about Jen?
No, Leah. Yeah, Leah dropping from 1 to 7.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that it's such a competitive week and it was so quiet, I guess. But I agree. It's a harsh downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
All right, real quick. Who am I talking about?
Maria.
Maria. Mm-hmm. All right, Maria at number five. I love her play. We talked about, her fantastic cocktail smooch. We love her energy. I love that she, you know, even though that alliance she might have made with Lauren didn't necessarily pan out long term, I feel like the fact that she's willing to make alliances with anyone shows that she can be a positive clubhouse presence. I don't know. I think she has a lot going on for her. I'm surprised that she's five in the polls. I would have put her higher.
Yeah. Talented player who's already taken a ton of risks, and it seems like they're paying off in Joey's eyes. And I think that's a really good point, DA, that she really has her ears to the grindstone in the clubhouse, and she's looking out for opportunities to start up LLCs with her teammates. I think the big question for her is, in one, I think it was DA, you mentioned this earlier, she needs to decide what kind of player she wants to be in this competition, and she needs to decide it quickly, because her ceiling's very high, but I think her floor is very low too, because she has shown a tendency to lock horns with people. She got mixed up in that ridiculous fight with Medina and Sydney that went way into the night, even though it wasn't even worthy of confrontation. And next week, it looks like she's locking horns with Jess. So does she, if her goal in all of this is paradise, then maybe that's the route to go. But if she really wants to end up being seriously considered by Joey, she's got to avoid that drama, steer clear of that, keep her nose out of that aspect of clubhouse play, and just focus on the connection that she has with Joey. If she can do that, then I think she's got a long haul run in her. But the way that she perks up when there's drama in the air makes me a little curious about, is she able to focus? Speaking of Jess, she's at number four this week. Zach, you ever as the ring, the rose, or the road?
Ring. I think I said it before we were on air. I think Maria, maybe, I don't want to maybe bury the lead on some of these other ones, but I think Maria, and Daisy are fantasy suite lineup. If I had to put my money on it right now. I think Jess is going to play a long game. I think she's going to be in some drama. Same thing with Maria. I think there's going to be some ups and downs, but I think just for all the things we talked about, the three H's, the intangibles, the, you know, all the stuff they pulled off, all the game changing play for Maria, just absolute America loved sweetness of Daisy. I don't see how they all don't get into that place. She might be three in that list. She's my number three in that, but I think she's definitely playing for the ring.
Yeah, she definitely has this craftiness that she hides beneath this aw shucks southern sweetness, and it's working for her so far. It's much like Maria. It's going to be a question of, can she hold up on the high heat that is drama in the clubhouse? Because she has been involved in drama already, has ruffled some feathers. Can she steer clear of that is the million-dollar question. Number three in the AP is Kelsey A. She moves up from number five. DA, is she playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I have no idea.
Kelsey A? She's, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say because we haven't seen a ton of her other than her voodoo doll.
voodoo doll, and she's got the tattoo of, for her four siblings that she showed Joey last night. She seems to me like just a pure scorer who can go out and get a bucket anytime that you need it. I think she's going to be Joey's bread and butter smooch basket for several weeks, where she's the one that he can rely upon to just go get a smooch and keep the momentum going.
Smooch basket. We just coined a new thing.
She's cute. I'll give her that.
What a thing to be. Smooch basket. Yeah, I agree with you, Baldwin.
We should all be so lucky. Number two, we got Lexi. Zach, ring rose a road for Lexi, who moved up from number three to number two this week after her artistic display.
Pretty wild stuff. I disagree with the AP, like I've said a couple times on this episode. You know, polls are not always right, but who whatever. It's not me to judge the media. I think that Lexi is playing for the rose. I just don't see... I mean, I see her playing decent ball. I see her maybe earning herself a one-on-one, possibly. But I also see her just kind of going away because she hasn't truly gotten, I think, what she needs to compared to the other few that I was talking about with Joey in terms of, like, getting a sob story out, getting like a real human connection with him, you know, sort of that trauma bonding that you kind of need before week four to start looking for wild card spots and things.
Hopefully
like that.
Hopefully they jump off a bridge together.
Exactly. She needs something like that. She needs a bonding moment. I mean, she's pleasant. He enjoys her company, but I think, like, maybe, you know, she might be relegated to smooch basket again, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
That being said, I really liked, if I were coaching her, I would really like the fact that she seemed cognizant of the facts. She said before her ISO set, I need to show Joey my funny, silly side tonight. And so that's why I'm going to do this painting. The fact that she was cognizant of the fact that she needs to mix in some lighthearted things, I think that's the sign of a smart player. And I think that'll be a good 1-2 punch when she gets the chance to share her sob story. She found out that, unfortunately, she has a condition where she probably will not be able to have children. And so to begin to warm up with the funny a little bit and then share that story with him when she gets the chance, I think that's going to be a powerful 1-2 punch. And I'm looking forward to seeing her have that opportunity. Finally, Daisy, not surprisingly, is number one in the polls. Guys, is there any, we've talked about her a lot, but is there any reason to believe that she's not playing for the ring at this point?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, no way. She's killing it. She might be an all-timer this season. She might be the story of this season.
Yeah, definitely.
She definitely has to be, like, in, unless she absolutely implodes, you know, takes a poop in Jesse's oatmeal one morning or, you know, goes on a racial tirade, she's got to be in your short list for bachelorette candidates, even if she doesn't win. You know, like, it's just, she's a dynamo.
Yeah, the player profile is tailor-made for bachelorette, certainly an early season MVP candidate. The only thing that gives me pause is that clip of her where it seems like an exotic location, which means it's late in the season, and she tearfully says, I'm just not feeling this. That's the one thing where I'm like, what's going on there? But that, as of right now, I see that as being the only thing that's in her way, because Joey's intrigued. The sparks seem natural. They're definitely flying. As of right now, it definitely seems like she's playing for the ring, much like our fans who tune in every week. Thanks you so much for checking us out on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and all your support. Anywhere you get your podcast, we're there waiting for you. We love it so much when you join and bring your friends along. Thanks so much for rating us, reviewing us, spreading the word to your friends and family. It helps us grow, become a better podcast, and we wouldn't be where we are today without you. So thank you all so much. And a special thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com. That's where you get all our exclusive Bachelor's Zone content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on our main feed. So if you enjoy us and you want to hear a little more of us at the end of the night, that's patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. We've got a three-way tie for Steal of the Night, and so we're going to want to hear from you. Help us break that tie on Instagram. Our handle for that is at BachelorZonePod. We also have a TikTok with the same handle. And our email is thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you.
Formal.
What's that?
It's because we're formal. That's why the email.
Right, yeah.
A little classy.
Yeah,
we're
serious. That's for serious business.
Yeah, we're older millennials, so we're
that's right.
We're adept at email as well, but we're young enough where we can hang on the Instagram chats as well. So Get at us any way you like, and we love hearing what you have to say and getting back to you. And finally, the top five on the Batch Live app this week. I forgot to look at that, so let me pull it up on my phone.
No worries.
Quick.
I was going to say, I forgot. It's a real loosey-goosey night here on the Bachelor Zone.
You guys have any questions for me, Zach?
Any questions for you?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that shirt?
Fantastic question. I got it from Nordstrom Rack. A great place to shop when you're looking for good clothes on a good deal.
Yeah. They're dying, yeah? Department stores?
Don't you say. Not Nordstrom Rack.
I think that's going. I think they're all kind of going away.
Well, these five players are very much alive and well in our fantasy league on the Batch Live app. Number five, do you have the talented Mr. Jose Max Singer? He's got 581 points. Number four, Coffee, with just ahead of him with 586 points. Number three is Sarah Weth with 596. Number two, Dahlia Hawthorne, always in the mix and right up there once again in that number two spot with 611 points. But number one, the Book Rose. She's had some deep runs in past seasons and out of that number one spot early on here with a whopping 696 points. So there's your top five. Follow along on the Batch Live app. Join, set a lineup every week. It's a lot of fun, and we'd love to see you there. Can't wait to see you next week for our week three coverage. It's going to be a blast. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.